Okay, before Pesach, we always like to talk about in Yonei HaChag to give an overview of some of the halachas of the Yom Tov. So we're all familiar, the Mishnah in the beginning of Sachem says that Or Larba Osar Bod Kines HaChametz Lor Haner, that the night of the 14th of Nisan we have to do a Bedikas Chametz. You have to check for Chametz. Why? So for two reasons, the Rishonim say. First of all, one is not allowed to own Chametz on Pesach. But technically speaking, if you mevatel the chametz, if you devalue the chametz, you make a kafir the ara, then you're not owning chametz anymore. But there's another chashash, and that is that you might come to eat the chametz. You might come to eat the chametz. You'll find the gluski or yofa, as the Gemara says. You'll find a cheerio, a little piece over there, and you might come to eat it. So therefore, Chazal say that you have to be bodek. You have to be bodek. Lo'or haner. What does that mean, lo'or haner? So the Gemara says, lo'or haner, to the or of a flame, but not to the or of an avuka, of a torch. Why not a torch? Produce more light, it'll be easier to be bodek. So the Gemara says that we're afraid that you're not going to go into the chorim mustak, and you're not going to go into all the nooks and crannies because you're afraid that it might burn down your house. So that's why you have to use only a ner. It's a smaller flame, it's more manageable, and then you'll be able to be bodek appropriately. So some poskim point out that Bizman Azeh, that we don't really use flames too much, or we don't have, you know, a covering for the flame, a lantern or something like that. If we're going to use just like, you know, a Hanukkah candle to do Bedikas Chametz, so then it's the same chashash, that people are afraid that they get too close. They'll burn the furniture, they'll burn the tablecloth or something, they'll burn the bedding, so they're not going to look under the beds, you're not going to look in the charm stuff. Rabbi Willig wanted to say that maybe talk it's better to be bodek or a flashlight, was Manasseh. Maybe you should use a flashlight, because the flashlight's taka have its focused light, it might even be better than the flame. So in terms of producing light, the flashlight produces just as much light, if not more. In terms of the chashash, that we're afraid the person is not going to come as close to the parts of his home, because he's afraid it'll burn down. Lechora, the flashlight is better. So some people like to start a little bit with the flame. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Sefer Tzfanya, that the Bahaya Bayesaya Chapes is Yushalayim Baneros, there's an idea to be Mechapes Baneros. So to be Mekayim, the Indian of the Pasuk, the Pshuto Shel Mikra. So some people, they'll make a bracha, I'll be a Chametz, and then they'll start the Bedika with the Orhaner. And after a couple of minutes, they'll switch over to the flashlight. So the Yaitzeh, the idea of being Bodeg Le Orhaner, but they'll do most of the Bedika with the flashlight, because the fact is, you'll be able to crawl on your hands and knees and really get into the nooks and crannies, which is what it's all about. It's not about, you know, faking it out, you know, and just trying to find, you know, all of the pieces of bread that your wife let, you know, put out, or that your roommate put out. That's not the goal. The goal is really to check the pieces of bread, you know, for the bracha, to make sure that you're going to search honestly in all areas. But the idea is you're supposed to do a bedika. So it could be that searching with a flashlight might be better, because then you'll actually be bodek even more carefully. Okay. So that's what I recommend. I think certainly in the dormitories, I think in the dormitories you shouldn't use a ner bechlal, because I think it's prohibited. No, I think the rule is you're not allowed to use the ner. If you can't bring neres Hanukkah into your dorm room, you certainly can't do bedikas chametz lor haner. So I think you should do it with a flashlight. But even in the apartments, again, you know, it's a function. I mean, if you're responsible enough, you can start lor haner, and then you can be bodek with a flashlight. But certainly in the dormitories, I would only use a flashlight. The Gemara Sochin points out that if someone is in his home 30 days before Yom Tov, he has to do Bedikas Chametz. It's not just Bedikas Chametz the night of the 14th, like the Mishnah says. That's the basic Takanas Chacham. But there's an extension to that Takanas Chacham. Shloshim Yom Kodol Mechav Sholem Adarshim Hilchas Achag is an idea that 30 days before the Yom Tov is like a chelik of the Yom Tov. That's when the Zman of the Yom Tov has begun. So the Takanas Chachamim to do Bedikas Chametz, that you won't own Chametz, you won't come to eat Chametz, that already exists Shloshim Yom Kodem Lachag. If someone who's in their apartment, they're in their home 30 days before the Yom Tov, they have a Chiyuv Bedika. Even if they're going to leave the apartment later, they have a Chiyuv Bedika the last night before they leave. But the Tosefta does point out that one can sell Chametz to a guy as well. There is an option of selling Chametz to a guy. Bizman Azeh, we do that. They do that if a person has chametz left over. They sell the chametz to a guy. We don't sell the chametz to the rav. The rav is the shliach to sell the chametz to the guy. The rav is not buying the chametz from you. What happens is people go to the Rav and they do a Kabbalah's Kinyan from the Rav. They do a Kinyan Chalipani. They pick up, Rav gives him a pen, gives the person a pen, the person picks up the pen, or the yarmulke, or whatever, the handkerchief. It's a Kinyan Sudr. What's the Kinyan Sudr? The Rav's not buying anything from you. The answer is, it's not really necessary to do the Kinyan Sudr. It's just mechazek the shlichus. It's mechazek the shlichus that people take it seriously. You know, the whole idea of bedikas of mechias chametz. It's a harama that we're going to sell the chametz to the guy, and then we're expecting to buy it back after Pesach. I mean, if the guy wants to keep it, we have no way of stopping him, and I guess because we put a price on it, that's okay. So we'll go through the tircha of buying the schnapps again, of buying the cereal again. But most people are thinking the guy is probably going to want to sell it back after Yom Tov. We don't know for sure, but probably. So the whole thing is like harama, it's like a harama ba'alma, it's like a legal fiction that you're selling it to the guy, but you're really thinking the guy is going to sell it back to you. So the problem is people are not going to take it seriously. So Chazal instituted that you should make a kinyan with the rav, with the individual who's actually selling the chametz to the guy, because then you take it more seriously. The kinyan, so there's always an expression of the das of the individual. You're showing that you have a gemir's das. It's a good thing, even though technically speaking it's not necessary, it's a good thing to do that kabbalah's kinyan. But because it's not really necessary, so if you can't do it, it's not ma'akev in the mechiras chametz. Right? Someone who, let's say he forgot to do mechiras chametz with the Rav, and then you know he remembers Erev Pesach, well not Erev Pesach, he remembers the day before Erev Pesach, right? Where he can still, the Rav is going to sell it in the morning Erev Pesach, so you got to do it before the Rav sells the chametz. Right, so let's say he talks around, but he's not around anymore, so what does he do? So the answer is he can call the Rav on the telephone too. He can appoint the Rav as a shliach on the telephone. B'di'evet. The best thing would be if he would be right there in front of the Rav, and he'd be able to do a kabbalah's kinyan with the rabbi. But if he can't, he can still appoint him as a shliach to sell his chametz. Right? He doesn't have to do a kinyan with the Rav. If the Rav is the one who's acquiring the chametz, then you have to do a kinyan. So you have to do a kinyan. If the Rav doesn't do a kinyan, then he's not going to acquire the chametz. But that's not what's going on. You're just appointing him as a shliach to sell the chametz to the guy. It's the guy who's acquiring the chametz. So b'di'evet, if you can't do the kinyan, even though that is the takanas chacham, that's the way we like to do it, but if you can't do that, then at least do it over the telephone. And what probably should be done is the Rav should ask the individual, do you do this b'gmiras das? Do you have a full g'miras das to appoint me as a shliach? So if the person says, yes, I do, so that dibur is like a kabbalah's kinyan. It's not as good as a kabbalah's kinyan, but it's something. So it's certainly good. It's certainly good for a person to express that he has a full, that he has a gemiras das to appoint the Rav, because that gives a measure of seriousness to the whole process. And we know there are different approaches to mechiras chametz. There are some who have a minik, have a mesorah in their families, that they'll only sell tarovas chametz, they only sell mixtures of chametz, they don't sell chametz be'en, they don't sell cereals and things like that, they only sell tarovas. So these are different minhagim. Tarovas obviously is more kal than chametz be'en. You know, if a person forgets to sell the chametz, so after Pesach, if it's chametz ben, then he has to throw it out. But if it's tarovas chametz, then we're more mekel for tarovas chametz after Pesach. So tarovas chametz is more kal. So some say tarovas chametz is the only thing that they would sell. They wouldn't sell chametz ben. But others sell chametz ben. Others sell chametz ben. The truth is, the ikar minig to sell chametz was really for schnapps. Schnapps is chametz ben. Where's the chametz? The answer is it's sheicher is saorim, right? We talked about this. That sheicher is an example of having something made out of chametz min yadogan that's a mashke. You don't make a mezonos on it because it's a mashke, according to Tosis Masech de Brachas. But it's kol kulo saorim. It's all barley. It's all chametz min yadogan. It's just water and barley. That's not tarovas chametz, because the ikar of it, majority of it. Is barley, so that's really chametz ben. But we're mekel for schnapps. We're mekel because it's a hefzid meruba. So that was the minig, that for schnapps people are mekel. Some people are not even mekel for schnapps. They hold dafki, you can only sell tarovas chametz. You can't sell chametz ben. But even those who do sell only tarovas chametz, many people are mekel for schnapps, because that was a hefzid meruba. You know, that was part of the original minig, because it's a hefzid meruba. So a person can sell chametz to a guy. So what's the din in the following case? Let's say a person is in his apartment, in his home, 30 days before Yom Tov, but he's leaving the apartment or the home to be elsewhere for Yom Tov. He's not going to be in the house. Well, I'll give you a different case. Let's say a person is moving from his apartment to Erev Pesach. That's the day that he's closing on his house. Pretty busy time. I don't know if I would do that. Forget about the closing on the house. But he's leaving the apartment. He's leaving the apartment. Then a goy is moving in. So does he have to be bodek chametz the night before? Does he have to be bodek the night of the 14th? The night of the 14th, he's still in his apartment. But he's leaving the apartment by day. Right? He's gonna abandon the apartment. He's going to be selling the apartment, let's say, to a goy. Selling the apartment to a goy. So even if he's not actually leaving the apartment forever, he's coming back after Yom Tov. But he's not going to be there for Yom Tov. He's not going to be there for Yom Tov. It's really the same thing because he could sell or rent the apartment to a guy. If you don't own the house, you can't sell the house to the guy. If you don't own the apartment, you can't sell it to him. But you can rent it. You can sublease it to him. Yes, there are some people who say, but you're not allowed to sublease it. It's in the contract that you can't sublease it. No, so this type of subleasing is permissible. Rabbi Willig says that this type of subleasing is not included in your contract. Your contract is saying a regular, this is a religious sublease. Right? You're doing it for halachic purposes. That's not included in the contract. So you can sublease it to the guy. So if you sublease it to the guy, then you're not going to own any of the chametz in the apartment. You're renting the whole of the apartment and all the chametz inside the apartment to the guy. So if he owns everything on the 14th, are you mechuyev to do a bedikah if you're still in the apartment, you're still in the home on the night of the 14th? That's the shaila. So the Mishnah Berurah at the end of Siman Tov Lamed Vav quotes a machlokas haposkim about this issue. Some poskim say that, look, you know, if you're going to sell the apartment, if you're going to rent the apartment, so then there's really no difference between renting the apartment to the guy with all the chametz inside and doing tashbis or doing bir chametz. If you're staying in your home, you're still doing bedikas chametz, you're going to collect all of the bread and then you're going to be mevar that Erev Pesach. So what are you doing? You're selling the chametz to the guy. That's also your chametz. You're getting rid of your chametz. Getting rid of the chametz by selling it to the guy. What's the difference? The Rosh, in the second paragraph of Pesachim, says that mechira, through a mechira, you can be mekayim tashbisa and beer. Mekayim the mitzvah of tashbisa. So what's the difference? There's no difference between this and, let's say, a person leaves over chametz after his bedika. Say he's bodek, right? And he finds a little bit of chametz. But he leaves over some chametz because he wants to have breakfast there at Pesach in the morning. And he doesn't finish the whole cereal. You know, he leaves the cereal box. And some of the kids eat. And some of the kids, you know, they don't eat two bowls. This time they only ate one bowl. They're not as hungry. They're anxious to run to the bir chametz. They're anxious to run to watch the bir chametz. So they don't eat as much. So you have something left over. So what are you going to do with that? You're going to put that in the box of the bir chametz, right? The box with all the breads that you're going to burn with the chametz. You're going to put it together. So the chametz that you leave over from the bedika, you're allowed to be mekayim tashbisu with that chametz. So what's the difference over here? If you leave over chametz and you don't do bedika, you're going to sell it all to the guy. So l'chori, you should be able to be mekayim tashbisu in that way as well. But others disagree and they say, no, as long as right now, on the night of the 14th, you're in your apartment and you own all of the chametz, then you have a chavos bedika. You have a chavos bedika, you can collect all the chametz and sell it to the guy tomorrow, but that's what you do tomorrow. But right now, the takonas chacham is if you're in your home the night of the 14th, then you have a chavos bedika. So it's a machlokas haposkim in the Mishnah Berurah, whether someone who's in his home the night of the 14th is chayiv to do bedika. Or do we say that if he's going to sell the chametz to the guy the next day, Erev Pesach, then he's part of him a bedika even now? And that would apply even to someone who's leaving his apartment before that. Right? Once we say that within 30 days you have a chavos bedika, so the chavos bedika the night of the 14th and the chavos bedika the night of the 10th is really the same. Same idea. If I'm going to be selling the whole apartment or renting the apartment to a guy at some point in time, so then my chavos bedika might fall away according to some poskim. Chavos bedika the night of the 14th, night of the 10th, night of the 8th, whatever, within 30 days before Yom Tov. And according to others, it doesn't. So the Mishnah Berurah says that you can't be moche biyad hamekilim. Those who want to be mekil, to rely on the mechira, biyudalid, it's okay. But he says it's better to be mocher biyudgim. It's better to have a separate mechira on the 13th, because that will absolve you of your chovas bedika. If you sell on the 13th, you sell the day before, right? So then you've sold before the time that the chovas bedika has been chal. So then you will be absolved of your chovas bedika. That's what the Mishnah Berurah wants to suggest. But then he quotes a third position. That's the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer sort of has a middle of the road position. He says that Me'ikar Adin, if someone is selling his bias on the 14th, renting the bias on the 14th, he doesn't have a Chovas Bedika on the bias. There's no Chovas HaChefta, so to speak. There's no Chovas Bedika on the bias. But there's a Chovas HaGavra. The Chasam Sofer says a brisk avert that they really have Svei Dinim Bedikas Chametz. There's an obligation to make sure that the house is Baduk, but there's also a Chovas Gavra. Right, there's a chiv on the gavra to be bodei chametz. That was the nature of the takanas hachametz. So the reality is, if you're going to sell all your chametz, then the bias is bodei because you don't own any chametz there. It's all the goy's chametz. But the fact is that there still is a chovas gavra. If you were in your apartment or your home within 30 days before Yom Tov, there's a chovas gavra to be bodei chametz. So that you're not going to be able to, says the Chasam Sofer. So the Chasam Sofer suggests that even if a person is leaving his rishus, leaving his bias before Yom Tov, what he should do is he should leave over a makom in the apartment, in the home, that he's not selling to the guy. And be makayim l'chovas gavra in that makom. That's the chumrah of the Chasam Sofer. So if a person is not going to be in his apartment the whole Yom Tov, and he doesn't want to have to clean everything, so he can sell the chametz in the apartment to the guy. Whatever chametz he's no hig to sell. If it's chametz ben, you can't sell the chametz ben just because you're leaving the apartment, it's no better. But if you have a minute to sell tarovas chametz, then that tarovas chametz you can sell to the guy. And by selling all the chametz to the guy, you'll be yotzei the chovas bedika in the bayis, in the mokom. You want to be macher for the chasam sofer to be mekayim the chovas gavra, so then you can leave over a little area of the apartment. Don't leave over the kitchen, because that's the most complicated place to clean. But leave over a small area where it's easy to clean, easy to see what's there. And you'll do a bedika there, so you'll be mekayim the chovas gavra, and you'll be mekayim the chovas habayis as well, by selling the apartment to the guy. And of course, it's better to sell the apartment to the guy before the 14th at night. Sell it on the 13th if you're going away. Because then if you're going away, then you'll be absolved of that chovas bedika on the night of the 14th. Okay. Often the shaila is raised, if someone is going to a hotel, so does he have to do bedika in the hotel? So the answer is, it depends how long you're going to be there. Right? Well, let's say a person is not going to a hotel. Sometimes they rent out homes. They go to places where they rent out a home. So normally it's checked, but if you're there a few days before and you're bringing chametz into the house, then you do have a chavas bedika in that area. So if someone, let's say, has an apartment here in the Heights, but he's going home for Yom Tov. Maybe he's not going to a hotel. He's not going away. He's just going home for Yom Tov. So the chiyuv of the Chasam Sofer, this new chumr of the Chasam Sofer, you can be yotzei at home. You can sell the whole, you can rent the whole apartment, or the whole dorm room. You don't have to leave over an area to be vodek the night before you leave. Because if you can be yotzei the chovas bedika where you're going, so then you can do that. You don't have to, there's no need to be machmer to do a bedika both in your apartment and in your room at home. You're going to be in your room at home, so that's part of your father's bedika, part of your bedika. Right, some people are knowing that the parent makes a bracha, the balabayas makes a bracha, and then everyone is both like their own area. If you have your own area, sometimes you have an area that you don't want your parents to come into. So if you have your own private area, then you can be bodek. You can listen to the bracha, and then you bodek your own area. In terms of hotels, so it's a shaila. It's really a function of how long you're going to be there. Most hotels are becheskas bodek. So if you come erev Pesach, there is no chovas bedika. You come the day before with no chametz on you. You know, the hotel has a big sign on the front door, do not bring chametz into the hotel. As if no one is coming with any chametz, then it's becheskas bodek. There really is no chiyuv bedika there. But if you're going to be there for a few days before, people are going to bring chametz, so then it's your responsibility to be bodek. So maybe there is a chovas bedika the night of the 14th. Okay. As we pointed out, there's a din l'chatchila that a person should be bodek his home the last night that he's there. The fourth night of the 14th, of course, the chiv is then. Let's say someone is leaving a week early or a couple of days early. So the chiv bedika, if he's going to do a bedika, going to do any kind of bedika with a chasam sofer or any other kind of bedika, he should be bodek the night before. The person is leaving by day, don't be bodek by day, be bodek the night before. The chatchila. Mishnah Berurah says, let's say a person b'diavad didn't do that. So what's he supposed to do? Not do a bedika? No, of course he should do a bedika. You should do a bedika by day. B'di'evet, if you didn't do the bedika by night, at least do a bedika by day. Sometimes I get this shaila. A Talmud will walk up to me the day that he's leaving, he says, you know, I'm leaving this afternoon, I didn't do a bedika yet, what should I do? So in that case, I tell him, do the bedika now. If you want to rent the whole apartment, you have that option. If you don't want to rent the apartment, you have this, you just want to do a bedika, or let's say you feel like there's nothing to sell, you just want to, there's a chiyuv to do bedika, so should you be yotzi a chiyuv bedika? The answer is, you can do it bedivad by day. It's just the chatchila, we say you should do it at night. Let's say a person is leaving his home, but he's giving someone else rishus to use that home. It's very common. Very common, a young couple is leaving their apartment. They're going to be by their in-laws or by their parents for Yom Tov, but there are others who are coming to the community and they want to be able to use that apartment. So the couple says, well, why not? We're not going to be there anyway, so why can't you use it? So the question is there a chovas bedika? So there's certainly a chovas bedika. The question is, who should do it? Right? That's the problem. The problem is, you can't just give your apartment and not do a bedika, because there is a chovas bedika. The best thing would be that the person who's going to use the apartment should do the bedika. I mean, it's the onus is really on them, right? They're, you know, there's a big effort for you to clean up the apartment, to make sure that it's bothered for those individuals. So it would be better for them to do it. Practically speaking, it's not going to happen, because most of them are just going to come Erev Pesach. Most guests are going to come Erev Pesach. It's not going to be, they're not going to be able to do a bedika then. So it's very tricky. It's really very tricky. There is a chovas bedika. There is a chovas bedika on that makom. So the best thing to do is to leave certain parts of the apartment off limits. You want them to stay in the bedroom. They're really only there to sleep. They're going to be spending time with another family. So what you could do, if you don't want to do a bedika, is you can put tape up, put some kind of a sign that they shouldn't go into areas with chametz. So if they're not going to go into the kitchen, then you can taka rent the kitchen to the guy, sell the apartment, as we said before, rent the kitchen to the guy. But you can't sell the whole apartment. That's a joke. To sell the whole apartment or to rent the whole apartment to the guy and then have someone stay in the apartment, that's a joke. That's not a sublease. It's a joke. So that basically does away with the whole rental. So the best thing is to close off areas that they can't come to. And then just to do a bedika on the areas that are more open, that are easier to do a bedika. And the people will just go into the bedroom, walk in, they'll walk out, they'll be able to use the bedroom. And that area, you're going to do a bedika in to make sure that there's no problem. Sometimes the shaila is raised, let's say no one's coming to use my apartment, but I want to go back, chol hamoed, to get my clothes. And I don't want to take all of my clothing for all of Yom Tov. It's a lot of clothing. It's much easier to take your clothing for the first days, go to your in-laws the first day, then you come back to the apartment, you switch, right? You switch your clothing, and then you go for the last days. But how can you come into the apartment? If it's subleased to the guy, if you don't want to do a bedikas chametz, you rented the whole apartment to the guy, then how can you come in? We said before that you can't come into the apartment if it's rented to the guy. So I think Rabbi Willig holds that schus hishtamshus, the guy is meichelon. He really owns the apartment. But he allows people to come in very briefly to take things that they need. That's understood in the Mechira, that it's okay to do that. But again, to spend time in the apartment, that really is inappropriate. What's more, when does a person have to leave his apartment? If he's renting it to the guy, when does he have to leave his apartment? So really, l'chatchila, he should leave it Erev Pesach before the Zman Isra Achilas Chametz. If the whole point of the Bedikas Chametz is that you shouldn't come to eat the Chametz, then the chashash exists after the Zman Isra Achila kicks in. So that means after the fourth hour. I don't know exactly when that is this year, but when 4 hours are completed, Erev Pesach in the morning, so then there's an Isra Achila's Chametz. So that's when a person really, l'chatchila, should leave the apartment. But the Eved, sometimes they can't. Sometimes the way it works out, I don't know, with the kids, with the wife, whatever you're doing, you can't leave then. So l'chora, by chatzos, you really should leave, because that's when the Isra Kores of chametz kicks in, right? There's no the Issa Kores. When does the Issa Kores kick in? There is no Issa Kores Erev Pesach, so maybe you could be Mekel. But if there's no Makom lahakel Erev Pesach, to stay a little bit longer, you should try to leave. You really should try to leave as soon as you can. But some say maybe because there's no Issa Kores in the chametz yet, perhaps you can stay. You can stay a little bit. Better not to. It's better to leave earlier. Let's say a person has roommates in his apartment or his dormitory. One of them is leaving early, the other one is staying. So the one who is staying should do the bedikah. The last person there should do bedikah. One roommate can't do the bedikah if the other one is still bringing chametz into the apartment. It doesn't make any sense. So the last one there should do the bedikah for both of them. Unless, of course, you're going to sell the apartment, and then there's no problem. When a person sells his apartment or rents his apartment, it's important to give the rav access to the apartment. Just selling the apartment doesn't do anything. If the guy can't have access to the chametz, that's not a mechira. So it used to be when people did a mechira's chametz and sold the whole apartment, they would give the key to a rav. I know rabbanim who, you know, they've said, I have keys from apartments, I don't even know the apartments that they're from anymore. You know, a person didn't come to collect his key after Yom Tov, but they would leave keys with the rav. So no one does that anymore. Now we have cell phones and we have combination locks and other things. So as long as you give the combination to the rav, again, that gives him access. He can call you up on the cell phone and ask you if you permit the guy to come in right now. Is it a good time? The guy can't just come into your apartment whenever he wants. He has to ask you to come in, but you have to give him. You should give him permission if that's those are the terms of the sale. But if the rav can access the chametz, he can call you. He can notify you that the guy wants to come. So that's good enough. So that's what you should do. You really should give a cell phone number if you're going away for Yom Tov. If you're there, but you're selling parts of the house, you know, the buffet or the kitchen or this or that or whatever. So then, if you're there, then you don't have to give the key. You're there, but if you're going away, you have to give the rav access in order that the mechira is real. Yeah.
How does the guy have the access on the Yom Tov to himself?
What's the problem?
Can't call him on the cell.
Oh, on Yom Tov itself. Okay, you got to do the best you can do, right? You can't call the individual on Yom Tov itself. Or give the combination to the Rav. That's the best thing. Give the combination to the Rav. Then the Rav can go in on Yom Tov.
And he has it up there to the cell to the guy. You can't access it.
He's saying if you're relying, what's the cell phone going to do? If I'm in California and Mohammed is in Washington Heights, well, what's the cell phone going to do? I was just saying, if the Rav calls you up on the cell phone, then you can give him the combination over the cell phone. It's not calling up on the cell phone to ask to get access. So if you have the combination, so then the Rav will be able to access it a whole Yom Tov. Sometimes people ask, are you allowed to use shampoos and cologne and perfumes and other things that have chametz in it? Do you have to sell that too, or do you not have to sell that? So it's a big machlokas in the poskim. The pashup shot is, if it's nifsal me'achilas kelev, then there really is no problem at all. There's a chumrah that some of the poskim have, that some of our perfumes are made out of what's called denatured alcohol. It means that the alcohol has been changed in its chemical composition. So it's not edible in this form, but you can add chemicals to it to bring it back to the edible state. Some say that because it can be brought back to the edible state, and alcoholics apparently know how to do this, and they do it. So it's not completely nifsal. Because it's not completely nifsal, so then you should sell. Right? You're not allowed to use those kinds of perfumes, and you should really sell them. But so even if you can be machmir for that, there are some who point out that that's only true if it's in a liquid form. But if you have creams and other solid forms, so you can't change that back into a liquid. No one's going to be drinking that. So really, the ikar adin, the creams and the soaps and things like that, if they have chametz in them, they're really technically permissible. You don't really have to check them. You know, they have all these lists of different things that don't have chametz in them. So if you can use something that doesn't have chametz in it, mato, but you don't have to drive yourself crazy, especially if it's not in a liquid form. If it's in a liquid form, it's appropriate to be machmer. It's very easy to get a mouthwash and to get perfume and other things that are liquid but don't have chametz in them. So that's what a person should do if it's in a liquid form. For a cream, it's less critical, but it's always better. It's always better. Medicines, there are plenty of medicines that don't have chametz derivatives in them, so it's always better to try to find a medicine that doesn't have chametz in them. Sometimes people ask, are we selling pots that have bleos of chametz in them? No, we're not selling any pots. There's no need to sell the bleos in the pot. Some people are machmir that if you have a mixer or something like that, you should sell the chametz be'en that's in the mixer. That's, you know, sometimes you can get a little chametz in the mixer itself. That's a different story. But bleos in the pot, we don't have to sell. It's no chiyuv to sell the bleos of chametz. That's not be'en at all. That's not, it doesn't exist. fact, it's a problem. Some of the posts can talk about if you sold your kederos to the goy, and then you buy back the kederos, you buy back the pots from the goy, you might need a tefilas kelim after yomtiv. So don't sell any pots. You're not selling any pots to a goy. If you bodek the apartment before the night of the 14th, we don't make a bracha on that bedika. The minig is we don't make the bracha. We only make a bracha if you're being yotzei the ikka takana bedika schoritz. That's the night of the 14th. So poskim assume that if you're not making the bracha, there's no need to put out the 10 pieces of bread. The minig to put out the 10 pieces of bread is you're making a bracha. You want the bracha not to be a bracha shenem tzvicha, a bracha l'matola. So therefore you put out the 10 pieces. So if you're not making the bracha anyway, then you don't have to put out the 10 pieces. Just be bodek in the dormitory, bodek in the apartment as best as you can, and that's sufficient.